back together the way we're supposed to be. When we remember him, he remembers us. That's kind of the way I think about it. So, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you because your presence is here. I thank you because you're faithful. And all the stuff that comes with you is good. Every good and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. There's no shadiness, no turning in you, no shadows. And we just thank you for that. Today I ask that your word would go forward and find a good place in our hearts and produce the crop that you want it to produce in our lives. I ask that our eyes will be open today and our ears will be opened and our hearts will be ready to receive. I ask that there will be salvations, healing, and deliverance take place today. In Jesus' name. Amen. How many want to be debt-free? You already are. You already are. You're already debt-free, right? That's good news, right? I mean, if the bank called you and said, hey, we're going to forget the $20,000 that you owe us, we would, like, go nuts, right? I mean, I know I would. My neighbors would be coming knocking on my door telling me to be quiet. Haha, segue from last week. We're still walking this thing out. Right? Man, if someone called us and said, your debt is paid off. I mean, how many have had someone call you recently, you've had debt, and you're trying to get your finances in shape, and they've called and said, we want to settle with you. You owe us $1,000, but dude, we're willing because we're broke right now ourselves. We'll settle for $480. How many have had someone do that for you? Letters coming to you in the mail, hey, you owe us X amount, we want to settle for you. Well, I'm going to pray that that happens more and more until you're debt-free, right? And then we can pay off our debts. But spiritually, the Lord paid our complete debt at the cross. The things that we feel guilty for and feel shame about, he already paid for it. That doesn't mean that we don't need to come to him and say, hey, forgive me, help me, you know, apply your blood to my life. That's what we do. But there's no need to walk around with guilt and shame and regret and I'm never going to be good enough. I'm never going to be okay enough. Right? You guys all right with that? Your debt's paid in full. You don't carry around a debt behind you. There's no credit score in the kingdom. And he's like, well, if you're below this credit score, you're really behind. And you walk in, you've seen those commercials where the two big buff guys and the little goofy looking guy, bad credit. There's none of that in the kingdom. Everyone's debt's been paid off. Paid in full. Paid in full. And that's what today's all about and even more. And we'll get into that. If you have your Bibles... or your phone, or whatever it is you use for your Bible. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. You thought we were going for Luke or Matthew, huh? I tricked you. Acts chapter 13. You're going to hear some good news today, right? Good news. Acts chapter 13, and we're going to start with verse 27. Acts 13, verse 27. It says, the people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus. Yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. Though they found no proper grounds for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. When they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. In verse 30, if you're there, would you read it with me? But God raised him from the dead. Amen? There are three things that I want to bring to you today, all right? They're easy to remember. The three things I want you to know, all right? Jesus lived to show us who the Father was. We often talk about Jesus' death. We often talk about him raising from the dead. We often even talk about miracles. But I want you to know that the main reason that Jesus came was to show us who the Father was. He came to demonstrate for us in example, in life, in the things that he did and the decisions that he made. He came to do that so you and I could see a Father that we've never seen before. See, every decision that Jesus made, he did it so you could see who the Father was. I want you to hear this today. Jesus didn't just die and raise from the dead. He made everyday decisions so that you can know how good his daddy was. I didn't think about this growing up. I grew up in church. I didn't think about this right here. But the older you get, you start thinking about the decisions that you make. You start thinking about how it affects your family. You start thinking how it affects your children, how it affects your wife or your husband, how it affects the people around you, right? When I was growing up, I was young. I didn't always think about all the how it affects other people. But as I get older, I think I'm more amazed at what Jesus did before he died and rose again than I am with those two things, which they're miracles. They're unbelievable. But the fact that Jesus lived without sin, the fact that everything he did was to bring us to the Father and to show us how good the Father was, and that he's not mean and he's not mad and he's not angry and he's not frustrated with man. Every decision Jesus made was to show you who the Father was. Up until that point, no one knew who the Father was, or very few people knew who the Father was. There was just a select group of people that earned their way into this secret place where they could see the Father in a way that no one else saw him. But they wouldn't even say his name. They wouldn't even write his name back then because they didn't know him intimately. There was this fear that kept them from knowing him on a personal level. Everybody here with me? Basically, we know that when God gave Moses the commandments, how many of you have ever heard that story before? You saw the movie, right? God didn't just call Moses up the mountain to see him face to face. If you'll go back and reread that through the Bible instead of through, you know, the stories we've heard our whole life aren't always 100% accurate. Like, there wasn't just 2x2 on the ark. You're like, what? No way. No, some animals it was 2 of each kind, but some it was 7. Right? So we try to simplify stories and cut out a lot of the details so we can remember it. And what we do sometimes, we cut out very important things. And when you and I think back about Moses going up the mountain and receiving the commandments from God written on stone, that happened after God himself issued an invitation to every one of the people of Israel to come up the mountain and see him. And they were scared and they said no. They were like, no, you are too scary. We see thunder on that mountain. We see lightning. There's like an earthquake and you scare us, God. So instead of us coming close and knowing you face to face, just write down who you are in a note. And so from that time forward, man lived trying to know an intimate person through reading letters that were written about him. How many of you have ever received an email or a text message and you thought the person that wrote it to you had a different attitude when they wrote it than the person that sent it meant to? Or you've sent an email to someone and they've responded back and you're like, whoa, I didn't mean it that way. You can't get the intimate details through a text message or through an email. You can't get the intimacy of the Father through tablets of stone and laws written on paper. God never wanted it to be that way. But man says, no, you're too scary for us. Just write us a note and we'll get to know you through the note. Well, when Jesus came, he's like, I'm coming here so that you guys can see what you missed out on back then. He's good. He heals people that are sick. He cares for the lost. He cares for the widow. He cares for the orphan. And every decision that Jesus made was to bridge a gap between the letters written on paper and stone to an intimate, heartfelt relationship with his Father. Every decision Jesus made. As a matter of fact, there are scriptures that say in Acts 10, verse 38, that Jesus went around doing good and healing everyone who was oppressed by the devil because God was with him. He healed everyone. Right? Jesus said, hey, I only do what I see the Father do, and I only say what I hear the Father saying. In Hebrews chapter 1, go read Hebrews. Just dig through it. It is unbelievable, especially my favorites. I read the Bible out loud when I read it, even if it's just a whisper. Because I don't know, I feel like there's something to it. And that's just my thing. I like to read it out loud. Man, the other day I was reading Hebrews 11, and I'm reading it out loud, and I'm getting excited, and I'm just screaming and cheering because it's about the people that conquered kingdoms and administered justice and about Samson and about Abraham's faith and how he received the promise from God even though he was beyond the ability to reproduce. And, oh, yeah. So I get the same way when I read Hebrews 1. Verse 3 says that, speaking about Jesus, It says, he is the radiance of the Father's glory. He's the shining of the Father. And he is the exact representation of the Father's nature. You see that? You underline that in your Bible. Hebrews 1 verse 3. He is the radiance of God's glory. He is the exact representation of his nature. Jesus said this to them. Up until this point in time, you haven't known the Father. You haven't seen the Father and you don't know him. He says, but now, because you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you can't find it in Jesus, you won't find it in the Father. Is everybody with me? If you can't see it in Jesus' life, you will not see it in the Father, because he is the exact. He's not just a duplicate. He is exactly the same as the Father. When you see Jesus, if you see him do it, that's why I tell people when you're starting out to read the Bible, read about Jesus. Just read about him, because when you know Jesus, you'll know how the Father is. I've had a lot of people come to me and say, I don't know how to hear God's voice. I don't know when he's talking to me. I'm like, read about Jesus, because then you'll know how the Father is, and you'll know what his voice sounds like, because, oh, that sounds like something that the Father would say. When Jesus healed somebody, he did it because that's how his Father is. When Jesus says, woman, where are your accusers? Where are those people that wanted to stone you? She's like, oh, they've gone. They've disappeared. Jesus goes, well, I don't condemn you either. You're forgiven. Don't sin anymore. You know why he did that? Because that's who the Father is. When there was a storm in the sea, he didn't say, hey, you storm, go to that city and kill a bunch of people and maybe they'll love me. He says, storm, peace be still. Why? Because if you don't see it in Jesus, you won't see it in the Father. Jesus lived so you and I could know our daddy, our maker. Amen? So he lived to show us the Father. He died to free us from sin and to quench the law's demand for death. That's the second point. He lived to show us the Father. Number two, he died to free us from the weight of sin and to quench the appetite of the law. The law that was written on stone demanded death. It demanded blood. It demanded sacrifice. Sin demanded death. Jesus came, lived a perfect and sinless life. Like our opening scripture we read, it said that though they found nothing to accuse this man of, though he was completely innocent, the people persuaded Pilate to give him over to them. He lived a perfect life. Why? So that his death would matter. So that his death would count for something. How many of you guys and ladies in the room, when you die, you want your life to have counted for something? I've been to a few funerals lately of some men of God. A pastor, a friend of ours, passed away about 3 to 4 months ago from my wife's home church. And he's a young man. I mean, he's my father's age, 60 years old. Too early for us to die. Great man of God. And as I sat there in the funeral, all I could say is I wanted to stand up and shout, because the place was packed out. There wasn't an empty seat in the place. There were pastors from all over the place. There were people that got saved under his ministry all across the room. He passed away from cancer. And it was almost like there was this, man, we lost another one to cancer. And all I could sit there and say, no, this man's life counted for something. Look at all of us in this room because of this man's life. We're here celebrating what this man lived for. His life counted for something. You and I, we need to make our life count for something. That's what Jesus did. If Jesus gave in to the enemy and turned one of those stones into bread, just one, his death wouldn't have meant what it meant. Right? So the life he lived to show us the Father made his death count for something. He died to break the curse of sin from man. See, we couldn't do it on our own. You guys know this most of our whole life we talk about trying to earn we seem like we try to earn favor from God. We try to earn righteousness. We try to earn forgiveness. We can't earn it from him. We can't pray enough. We can't give enough. We can't sacrifice. It's not us. It's what Jesus did. He wanted to break the curse of sin. Amen? See, when Jesus was at the cross, he executed justice. The Father did. Sin cried for justice. So God sent Jesus to become our sin. Hello? He took on what we deserved so that we could take on what he deserved. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, it says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You guys awake? He made the person who never did one thing wrong to become sin for all of us so that we can be free from the power of sin. Hello? It says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I want you to know this today. Number one, Jesus lived so you can know the Father. Number two, he died so that you can know freedom. Real freedom. Religion isn't a weight. Hello? Religion's not a weight. It's not a burden. It's not something that we have to do. It's not a job that we perform. Religion, as a matter of fact, Jesus came to do away with religion. He came to bring relationship. See, religion is about what's written on paper and laws and this and that. Relationship's about being intimate and knowing the Father. And he wants us to be free from sin because the only outcome for sin can be death, destruction, pain, and suffering. Amen? You guys all right? So he lived so we could know the Father. He died so we can be free from sin. Amen? A few weeks ago, I preached on this, so I don't want to get into it again, or I'll take off on it. But it's God hates sin. He hates it. He absolutely hates sin. And it's not for the reasons that most of us think. It's not because he gets mad at us, and it's not because he wants to hurt us because of sin. He hates sin because it separates us from his life. It separates us from freedom. It separates us from what his plans for us, and it connects us to something that has evil plans for us. That's why he doesn't want us to sin. Not because he doesn't want us to have fun. Not because he wants to control us, but because sin has only one outcome. It's death. His life brings life. So he wants to break sin. So he sent Jesus and lived a perfect life. And he died so that we can be free from sin. Number three, he rose so that we can be sons and daughters. So we can be alive. How many want to be really be alive? Get POD in here to rock that out. I feel so alive for the very first time. Oh, that's a good song, right? He wants us to feel alive. In him is life. Why don't you say that with me? In him is life. The only reason that you and I can live is because Jesus died and rose from the grave. If he stayed in the ground, we couldn't live. But he rose so that we can be alive. It's alive. He wants us to be alive. He wants things in our life to be full of life. He wants our marriages to be full of life. All the married people should say, yeah. He wants our marriages to be passionate, full of life. Full of productivity and reproduction. Every chance I get, I'm going to hit on that until my wife's like, you know, the Lord's been talking to me, and we need to have another kid. Let's go. He wants us to be alive. He wants our finances to be alive. Jesus rose again so that our finances could be alive and not dead. So that our dreams can be alive and not dead. Some of us had great dreams when we were little. You know, I always like to do this. How many guys in here when you were little, you wanted to be a superhero, a fireman, a policeman? You wanted to be an athlete, someone famous? We had great dreams, right? How many ladies in the room, you wanted to be a princess? And you're all wrapped up into this British marriage thing because, oh, it's a story of a princess. Oh, she's going to become a queen just by marrying the prince. Oh, it's so awesome. How many ladies in here, you just wanted to be swept off your feet? How many ladies wanted to be lawyers, teachers? You wanted to impart wisdom and life into people. Guys, we wanted to save the world. When you have a dream at night, how many times are you saving the world? How many have ever had a dream where you're destroying the world? We need to talk later if that's you. But most of us, when we dream about stuff, we're rescuing things. We're saving the world. We're rescuing whales and puppies and whatever, right? Because there's something in us that cries out for life, that cries out for productivity, that cries out for meaning. We can only find that meaning if we live in Christ. The Bible says, I no longer live. Christ lives in me. Why don't you say that with me? I no longer live. Christ lives in me. How big is God? One time Jesus is walking by a fig tree and it had no fruit on it. Like the Bible leads us to believe that it wasn't season for fruit. And he walks by this fig tree and he's hungry and he looks at this fig tree and he's frustrated that there's no fruit on it. He expects fruit in our lives. I can see Jesus just walking down the street and dead flowers coming alive as he walks. Have you ever seen like the cartoons where it's black and white and whatever the character walks down and everywhere they go, everything turns to color. It's the magic of Disney or whatever it is. Jesus is that way. Everywhere he goes, things come alive. Things come alive. Why? He is the resurrection and the life. Remember what he told Lazarus? Hey, Lazarus, wake up. They're talking bad about you out here, man. They're talking about how bad you stink. Your sisters are mad that I didn't come earlier. So wake up, come here. And he says, I am the resurrection. I am the life. How many need life? I mean, there's something in your life that's not alive right now, or it's dormant, or it's dead. Let me say this. There will be times and seasons where things are dormant. That doesn't mean that you're dead. Just keep fertilizing the seed that's in your life. Okay? But there are times where things are dormant because we're not alive. And there are times things are just plain dead. It's like we try something and it doesn't work. How many of you have ever had that happen? Man, it seems like, man, I'm trying things and they just don't work. I tried to work here. I tried to do this. We tried this and with our child that's acting out. We tried this in our marriage. Nothing's working. Because life can only be found one place. That's in Christ. In Christ. Amen? Amen. 1 John 3 says, how great is the love that the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. He is your Father. He's my Father, and we're His children. And we're alive as His children. So Jesus came and lived an awesome life. And every decision that He made, every word that He spoke, everything that He did was to show us who the Father was. If you can't, I want to say this again. If you don't see Jesus do it, you won't see the Father do it. Amen? Number two, Jesus died so we could be free from sin. So the curse of sin could be broken. So that we can be connected to something else. Number three, He rose again so we can be alive. Alive. Don't stop just being happy with His death. Don't just be satisfied with eternal life. I'm going to end with this, okay? He didn't just die and raise from the dead so that we could go to heaven when we die. He came to give us abundant life. The thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. Let me say this. How many have ever experienced the thief in your life? Stealing, killing, destroying things. If the enemy can do that while we're alive, and it's not just reserved for after death, then there should be life in our life before death. Let me say that a different way because this is just hitting me, right? If the enemy can steal, kill, destroy while we're on the earth, then we should have life on the earth. It's not just reserved for when we go to heaven, right? It's for the here and for the now. He wants the things that you touch to be abundant. That means more than enough. He wants the things that you touch to prosper. The blessings of God make us rich and add no sorrow. Have you ever heard that before? The blessing of the Lord makes us rich. What's rich to you? What's rich to me? That's up for us to decide. But the Lord wants to make us rich. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about true riches. True riches. True riches. Amen? Would you stand right where you're at? How many knows what the difference between grace and mercy is? If you know the old Newsboys song, you'll know it. When we don't get what we deserve. Anybody remember the old Newsboys stuff? It's a real good thing. A real good thing. Grace is when we don't get what we deserve. The Bible says all have sinned. Right? And according to the law, we're supposed to be punished and put to death. But Jesus came to satisfy the desire of the law. And He brought us close to the Father, made us right with Him. He reconciled us to the Father so that we don't get what we deserve. How many think that's pretty awesome? Yes. We don't get what we deserve. Mercy's a little bit different. Mercy's when we get what we don't deserve. I've heard someone use this example different times. And they said, grace would be you're in a 35 mile per hour speed limit zone, and you're going 50. Grace is the cop pulling you over and saying, hey, I'm going to let you go this time. That's grace. Mercy is when the cop pulls you over and decides to write you a check for $100. Whatever this ticket would have cost you, I'm going to give you in cash. That's what mercy is. Grace and mercy belong to us. We don't get what we deserve, and we get what we don't deserve. Why? Because Jesus was perfect. Remember, bad things happen to good people? I always said I was going to write a book, Good Things Happen to Bad People. Grace and mercy, grace and mercy. We don't get what we deserve, and we get what we don't deserve. That's the kingdom, grace and mercy. If you would just bow your heads with me, I want to ask a couple of questions from you. We're going to pray here at the end. Amen. I'm going to ask four different things, okay? Number one, if you're here and you either you don't have a relationship with the Father or your relationship's broken and you want it to be fixed, I want you just to raise your hand where you're at and put it right back down. Anyone? Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Second question. If you're here and you're having trouble with knowing how the Father really is, and you want to know the Father's nature, I want you to raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Or maybe things that you thought about God aren't exactly how He is and you want those things to be corrected. Anyone else? Amen. Number three. You're here and you know that there's a sin and you want that thing broken from your life. I want you just to raise your hand and put it down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Last thing I want to ask, if you're here and you want life, there are things that aren't alive inside of your life right now, and you want them to come alive through Jesus, I want you to raise your hand. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I want to invite anyone who raised their hand for any of those things to just come up here to the front. We have people who will just begin to pray with you if you want them to. If you want to be alone, totally fine with that. If you want to kneel around here at the front, there's no room here. You can stand in the aisles. If you don't feel like walking up here, or you can totally kneel where you're at. We just want you just to ask the Lord to do the thing you ask. Those of you that said you want to know Him or mend your relationship, when you raised your hand, your heart was turned towards Him. And I believe in that moment, you were brought close because your heart turned towards the Father. All right? So there's not this big process that you have to go through. I just want you to simply talk to Him and make a connection with Him, all right? So if everyone will do that, if you'll come to the front or kneel where you're at, if you want someone to pray for you and no one has, just raise your hand until someone comes to you, all right? And everyone else, I want you just to pray, all right? This is a house of prayer. It's a house of prayer. Amen. I'm reconciled. This morning when we were praying, if you're praying, don't listen.